I want to talk to you today about something that's going to help you very much. But we are unique. We're a happy church. Sometimes we shout. Sometimes we dance. But above all, we are a teaching church. And I want to talk to you today about something that's going to help you very much. I want to talk to you about the power of success. So say with me, the power of success.
The power of success.
And all of you who are not interested in success and you're not interested in being successful, I suggest you leave right now. Because I'm going to rub success power off on every one of you who stick around here today. And some of you who may not even consciously believe, I'm going to rub this success power off on you subconsciously, like I did that young man who didn't believe. But you see, I got to him subconsciously. You see, the stuff I use will work for you, even if you don't believe in me as a person. And I'd like to make this clear also. I'm not really trying to get anybody to believe in me as a person. I'm not insulted with those who say, I don't believe in you. Because frankly, I'm not trying to get you to believe in me as a person. I'm trying to get you to believe in yourself. That's one of the differences in this ministry. You see, I'm not interested in making converts to any form of organized religion. I'm only interested in converting you to yourself. I'm not interested in trying to herd masses of people into the folds of organized religion. Oh, it gets quiet. Evangelists have been doing that for thousands of years, hundreds of years, herding masses of people into the folds of organized religion. But here is one evangelist that does not come to try to convert you to any form of organized religion. I only wish to convert you to yourself. So if you want success, stay here. Even if you don't want it, just stay here and behave, and I'll let you sit there, and I'll rub some off on you free. I want to read some text from the scriptures. And for the reading of these texts, I'm going to ask all of you to stand, please. While you're standing, you're going to find that even my sermons are different, because we have you participate in these sermons. We have you to help me preach these sermons even. I don't let you sit down too long, you see, because your circulation will slow down and you'll get sleepy. That's why I have you participate in the sermon. And at times we have you help us to preach it. It's a bit unorthodox, but it works. Because I'm not trying to impress you at all with my homiletical expertise or my hermeneutical accuracy. Whatever those are. Some big words that I picked up on at the theological seminary. First text that we are going to read is from Timothy, the first chapter and the seventh verse. 2 Timothy, first chapter and the seventh verse. And I'm going to just use the subject, you have the power of success, and I'm going to convert this to the first person. I have the power of success. Say that to yourself with hands and voices. Come on. I have the power of success. See, you're preaching to yourself already. I told you I'd get you to help me preach these sermons. I want you to stretch the I out. I want you to emphasize the I. Come on. I have the power of success. Now, from 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the seventh verse, repeat it after me as I shall read it. For God has not given us the spirit of fear,
have not given us the spirit of fear,
but of power,
but of power,
and of love,
and of love,
and of a sound mind,
and of a sound mind.
I want to read it again, and you're going to find me purposely repetitious, purposely redundant, because it is by repetition that you introduce a new idea effectively into your subconscious mind. You see, most of us, we've had negatives repeated to us all of our days. The voices of the world mind are forever shouting at us, telling us what we can't be, what we can't do, and what we can't have. And so I have to continue to shout at you with a positive voice and teach you to shout at yourself with a positive voice, telling yourself what you can be, what you can do, and what you can have if you believe in yourself correctly. And by the way, the preaching that we teach you to do around here, we teach each person to preach to himself. And before I get down here to preach to you, I've preached to myself. I woke up this morning and pushed myself up in bed, and I started preaching to me. As I walked into the shower, I started singing to me. I evangelized all of the centers of my mind. I went into the infinity of my mind and preached the gospel to every emotion. I baptized my thinking with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Until my self-awareness began to speak in other tongues of love and peace and joy and health and happiness. So let's preach this to ourselves. For God
has not given us the spirit of fear,
but of power. And of love.
And of love.
And of a sound mind.
And of a sound mind.
Now, just reading it here with you, I've invented some symbols that I want to use. Power.
Power.
Love.
Love.
Sound mind. The next statement is from Reverend Ike, the 7th chapter and the 17th verse. And I'm going to have you repeat it after me as I read it. When God individualized himself in me.
When God individualized himself in me.
Through me.
Through me.
And as me.
And as me.
He left nothing out.
He left nothing out.
All right. Wonderful.
I want you to say this again with me, with your hands and your voices. When God individualized himself in me.
When God individualized himself in me.
Through me.
Through me.
And as me.
And as me.
He left nothing out.
He left nothing out.
I have. The power.
The power.
Of success.
Of success.
You may be seated. Since we're talking about success, I'd like to address myself to the question, what is success? And to define success in the vernacular of Reverend Ike, success is being what I want to be, doing what I want to do, and having what I want to have. Now, doesn't that sound like success? I'm going to say it again, and then afterward have you repeat it with me. Success is being what I want to be, doing what I want to do and having what I want to have. Together, success is being what I want to be, doing what I want to do, and having what I want to have. Now stop and think about that for a moment. And here again, we do a lot of preaching in the first person. And whenever I use the first person, you ought to use it for yourself as well. When you can be what you want to be, isn't that success? If so, say that's success. When you can do what you want to do, isn't that success? Come on, you people aren't sassy enough. See, some of you don't know when to be sassy. We'll start again, and if it's success, you say, that's success. I say, when you can be what you want to be, is that success? When you can do what you want to do, is that success?
Success.
When you can have what you want to have, is that success?
Success.
We're even going to be even more emphatic about it. I'm going to have you stand up and put your hands on your hip. Come on. And you're going to, when you answer me, you're going to let your backbone slip. And when you say success, shake it to the east. I know you've never heard a sermon like this, and I know some people say, Reverend Ike, I never heard of a preacher doing this in church. Now that's why you haven't been any more successful, too. I know what I'm doing. You see, you're going to remember this. Even if you don't agree with it, you're going to remember it. Even if you think it's silly, you're going to remember this. Even if you old fundamentalist, dyed-in-the-wool religious people think that it's sacrilegious, you're going to remember it.
Yes, sir.
And if you shake it like I say shake it, you'll make it like I say make it. So we're going through this success thing again. And if that's success, I want you to put one hand on your hip and shake the other hand. Say, that way. I say that success is being what you want to be. I say success is doing what you want to do.
That's success, baby.
I say success is having what you want to have.
That's success, baby.
You may be seated. Also, we may say that success is being a winner in the game of life. Isn't that success, baby? I'd like to give you for a moment a profile of a successful person. First of all, a successful person is healthy-minded. And thereby transmits health to his body and affairs. If you want to be healthy in your body, your physical body, if you want your affairs in order, learn to practice healthy-mindedness. If you want your business in order, get your mind in order and keep your mind in order. The oldest book of wisdom, the Bible, in the Proverbs, states, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And here in the scriptures, the word heart indicates the deeper mind, the subconscious mind. Keep your mind in order, and your mind will keep your affairs in order. Get your mind in order, and your affairs will be in order. But I found a lot of religious people, and especially a lot of praying people, they pray one thing and think another. And then say, Reverend Ike, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Religious people puzzle me, I know, because I used to have religion myself. And religious people have a habit of praying, Lord, please, please do this, do that, give me this, give me that, and don't have the slightest idea that it will happen. It's like the little lady who read in the Bible that faith could move mountains. So there was this mountain behind her house, and before she went to bed that night, she pulled down the blinds and knelt down by her bed and said, Now, Lord, I want you to move that mountain by in the morning. Next morning she woke up, the sun was shining bright. She jumped up and went to the window and flipped up the shade and looked out the window and said, I knew there was nothing to that. But to be somewhat serious for a moment, you know, you can pray for the healing of your body all you want to, but if you do not believe, if you do not begin to establish within yourself a healthy attitude, healthy mindedness, you will not be healed. And here again, this ministry and healthy mindedness is not just simply for sick people. That's why I went out of the so-called, quote, faith healing business, because people always thought that, you know, that they weren't supposed to come to me unless they were sick. You know, something was supposed to be wrong with you for you to come to me, and I was just sort of dispensing spiritual band-aids. But this ministry is the science of living, the joy of living. And we teach you how to stay healthy. You look around here today, and these folks look healthy. Even those who came in here sick, they're looking healthier. If you want to be healthy and stay healthy, learn to practice healthy mindedness. And that prayer for health and healing that we use here, and we'll never wear it out. Every time I speak, I give it to you again. God in me is my health. That is a great stimulator of healthy mindedness. So again, right here, right now, I want each one of you, touch yourself so that you can feel it. And you're talking to yourself now. And say, God in me is my health right now. Come on. God in me is my health right now. Now, I'm not going to call you down here and line you up and pray for you one by one. And there wouldn't necessarily be anything wrong with that. I used to do it that way, and we helped a lot of people that way. I've healed a lot of people. If God didn't heal them, I'd heal them. I killed them. But I would much rather teach you how to practice healthy mindedness yourself than to have to always be giving you spiritual band-aids. I teach you spiritual independence. I teach you how to heal yourself. I teach you how to work your own miracles. Heal yourself by adopting and practicing healthy mindedness. Make up your mind to be healthy. God in me is my health. Right now, take that prayer, take that thought with you and practice it. Practice it for your children at home. As you look at your babies and your children, say to them silently and subconsciously, God in you is your help. I was talking to one of our members who had a great challenge of sickness this year and was on critical and reached a point where she was completely unconscious, recognized no one. Somebody from this church went to her bed while she was in an unconscious condition. whispered in her ear, called her name, and said, God, in you is your help. And she opened her eyes and recovered from that condition. So a successful person is a healthy-minded person. And through healthy-mindedness, transmits health to his body and his affairs. Now, don't think that you can ask some God in the sky to do something for you and you don't believe it. You can't pray one thing and think another and think that you're going to get results. It's not going to work. Even the Bible says, good people, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Because you see, to understand Lord correctly, as it is in the Bible, it means the law of mind, the cosmic law of mind. This cosmos is based on order and law. And there's some things you're not going to change. You have to learn how to work with the Lord. You have to learn how to work with the law of mind, which is established and centered in your own being. A successful person is healthy-minded and transmits health to his body and his affairs. If all of your affairs are in a mess, that means your mind is in a mess. And don't think that your affairs are going to be in order while your mind is in a mess. And you remember in one of the classes I taught you this. I taught you that you're always having perfect results. See, that's another thing. You're always having perfect results, whether it be perfect good or a perfect mess. You always get the perfect results of your state of mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. To continue the profile of a successful person is happy-minded, and thereby spreads happiness, consciously and subconsciously. People catch happiness from him, because happiness is catching. Happiness is magnetic. And happiness draws more happiness. Happiness draws happy people into the orbit of your life. But you go around all the time looking like a sad sack. Even an old scary dog that wouldn't bite anybody else will bite you. Learn how to practice happy-mindedness. I am a believer that once each day, at least once each day, everybody should get a good laugh. At least once a day. I mean a laugh that doubles you over and hurts your belly. You know, we teach you every day meditate, every day pray, every day say your affirmations, yes. And I say every day get a good laugh. And I taught you in one sermon a technique for getting at least that one good laugh a day. I'll tell you how you do it. If nothing funny happens, just think of the funniest thing you ever saw. See, there you go. Even learn how to laugh at yourself. Some of you take yourselves too seriously. Laugh at yourself and march on. Be happy-minded. And I continue to tell you, and I'm going to wear this out because some people didn't hear it. I keep on telling you about the old lady, grandma, sitting in the rocking chair, just rocking and moaning. The troubles in this world. And you see, some of you don't practice healthy-mindedness. You really practice morbid-mindedness, because some of you sit there and watch that television, and every time something bad is reported, which is being reported all the time, you just sit there and moan like the old lady. Trouble in this world. You get the newspaper and you scan the newspaper like a dog sniffing in a garbage can looking for a rotten bone. pick out all of the bad things and moan over them. The troubles in this world. So Grandma did that so much, just rocking in the old rocking chair and moaning about the troubles of the world. And somebody came up and said to her, "Grandma, why is it that you're always moaning?" And Grandma stopped rocking for a moment and shook her finger and said, "Now let me tell you something. The Bible says that we are going to have trials and tribulations. And I don't care what you say, I mean to tribulate." And many people have an intention to tribulate. So many people are purposely morbid-minded. I wouldn't dare tell you who they are. I'm thinking of a couple of preachers that I used to know. I don't know them anymore. Because when they get like that, I drop them. But one said to me that I've been praying for 10 years and hadn't done me a bit of good. I don't know what I told him then, but you know what I'd tell him now. I said, "Well, damn it, hand me your license." Preacher's going to say, "I've been praying for 10 years and hadn't done me a bit of good." He's got no business preaching. What are you going to tell people? You got to be a winner. You got to be a winner to tell people how to win. He was just morbid-minded. Another preacher said, "Everything I touch just turns to mud." Morbid-minded. Some people are so morbid-minded that when something good does just happen to them, they're even morbid about that. Some of you, when you do luck up on some breakfast, you can't enjoy it for wondering how you're going to get some lunch. Then when you do luck up on some lunch, you're so morbid-minded until you can't, where am I going to get some dinner? I'll never forget the young lady who spoke to me once at the Sunset Theater some years ago when I first came back here to New York. And she said, "Oh, Reverend Ike," said, "I wrote you and asked you to pray for me to get a job. And Reverend Ike, I got a job." She said, "Oh, Reverend Ike, please pray for me that I don't lose my job." Of course, I had a little more religion then than I have now. But if somebody would say that, would react to me like that now, I'd just look at them and I'd say, "Damn. How morbid-minded can you be?" Talked about Job a little bit last night. Remember what Job said? "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." And here again, nothing so multiplies unemployment and recession and depression as all of this talk about how bad the economy is. People are so morbid-minded about everything, and even so-called intelligent people. Who do you think starts all of this talk about recession? The economist in the hierarchy of the universities, in the high places of the intelligentsia, whatever that is. Those guys are so smart, you know, they look at these charts to see when the last recession was. And then they get Time Magazine and Business Week to write up, "Well, it's time now for another recession." And these other zombies read that. And they say, "Yes, it's time for another recession." And then the people on Wall Street read that and said, "Yes, it's time for another recession. I better sell all of my stocks and bonds." And they go to selling stocks and bonds like mad. And great corporations begin to go out of business. But you know, when you learn how to do your own individual positive thinking, you are then through with the panic of the world mind. A successful person is a happy-minded person, an optimistic-minded person. We continue with the profile of a successful person. A successful person is loving and beloved. A successful person loves himself correctly and positively, and therefore knows how to love others. Now, don't bring me this religious thing about I'm not supposed to love myself. I don't love nobody but Jesus. These dear, sweet saints. Just like the little Jesus freak standing on the corner of 42nd Street, and a bum walked up to him and said, "Sir, could you give me some money? I need a fix so bad." The little Jesus freak looked at him and said, "Before I met Jesus, I was all messed up on drugs. Now I'm all messed up on the Lord." Take that for what it's worth. But don't give me this religious thing about I'm not supposed to love anybody but the Lord. Even if you would read your good old Bible, it would tell you, how can you hate your brother whom you have seen? And physically, you've never seen God. You've seen him, but you didn't recognize him. All right. Take that for what it's worth. But you must first of all love yourself correctly. And until you learn to love yourself correctly, you can't love anybody else correctly. How do you know how to treat somebody else until you first learn how to treat yourself? Love yourself positively and correctly, and this is not an ego trip that I'm talking about. You love the highest and the best idea of yourself. Love the successful idea of yourself. Love the healthy idea of yourself. Love the happy idea of yourself. And treat yourself nice, and you know how to treat other people right. And then other people will treat you right. Because I'll tell you something. You know, other people and life in general treat you like you treat yourself. If you're good to yourself, other people will be good to you. Late last night, after the class, we got back to the in-town office. One of my aides began to set the table for me. And I said, "Why don't you come have lunch too? And put out the best silverware." So I began to put out the best silverware at my plate. I said, "Well, why don't you put out some of the silverware at your plate?" He says, "Well, I don't have to have that." I said, "Wait. If you are not willing to give yourself the best, how can you expect the best from somebody else? Or how can you expect the best from life?" Love yourself correctly. Treat yourself correctly. Be good to yourself. And then you'll know how to be good to others, and others will be good to you. We're going along quickly now. Now the successful man is loving and beloved. And because he loves correctly and positively, he draws all of the right people into his life for every right purpose. Now that's another wonderful thing that love, correctly understood, does. If you love yourself correctly, you'll love other people correctly, and loving yourself correctly will keep the wrong people away from you. If you really love yourself correctly, nobody will even be able to do you any dirty deals. If you don't believe it, I'll tell you something else. If you start loving yourself correctly, understanding yourself correctly, a lot of the people that are in your life, they'll just begin to just move out. It tickles me sometimes to watch, as the book of Proverbs says, "He that sits in the heavens shall laugh." You know, people come to me with all kind of deals. They think they try all sorts of things. Many times I don't say anything. I just watch. Just give them some more rope. And you see, I'm sitting in the heavens of highermost self-consciousness, just laughing. And sometimes somebody says, Reverend, why don't you do such, 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 such? I say, and you know what happens. Just love yourself correctly, understand yourself correctly. And as the young lady said in the meditation, correct self-understanding will be the law of elimination to all that isn't right. If you be right, nobody can do you a dirty deal. A successful person is a prosperous person and is described in the first psalm. And I want you to read the first psalm this week. The first psalm. Whatsoever he doth shall prosper. What a statement. When I read that this morning, you know what I said? I'm that person. Come on, say that with me, everybody. I'm that person. Listen, whatsoever he does, it shall prosper. Because you see, a man who loves himself correctly and understands himself correctly, he's going to do right. He's not going to do anything but right. He's not going to try to run down any games on anybody. And if you're right with yourself, nobody can run down any games on you. What a statement. Stop and think about that. And identify this as your self-image. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Oh, I say, I'm that person. Come on, touch yourself and say that. I'm that person. Because whatever he does, he will do it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Right ideas will take him by the hand and lead him. A successful person has a right idea about himself, which opens his mind to an instant, constant flow of right ideas and right decisions which prosper him. Now, for just a moment as I close this message, let's see the money profile. Oh, that greedy bunch, you heard that, didn't you? Let's see the financial profile of a successful man. Because I don't care how successful you are, you need some money. I don't care how much religion you have, you need money. I don't care if you've been baptized in a barrel of butcher knives and sprinkled with a 45, you need some money. I don't care if you're saved and sanctified and had a ride on the roller coaster. You need some money. So for a moment, let's look at the money profile of a successful person. A successful person has all of the money that he needs whenever he needs it for whatever good purpose. Come on, point to yourself and say, I'm that person. The successful person does not serve money. Money serves him. You see, some people don't understand me in money, you know. But I've got the balance. I've got the correct balance on the money question. We don't serve money. I don't serve money. Money serves me. And as long as you keep the relationship in that perspective, you're safe and you'll have lots of money, because the truth is, money loves to serve you. The truth is, when you establish the right money idea in your consciousness, money will just love you. You take me, for example, money just loves me. My God, every time I walk down these aisles, money just crawls up in my hands. And even on those occasions when I go to funerals, people give me money. I walk down Wilshire Boulevard in Beverly Hills. On Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, people give me money. Why? Because I have a right positive attitude about money in my mind. And this magnetizes me for money. And here again, please listen, I don't serve money. Money serves me. A successful person does not serve anything. All things serve him. He is not possessed by anything, yet he possesses all things. A successful person is master of everything and not a slave to anything. And I say to you today, as we get ready to do some affirmation work in success, that you have the power of success. In the opening scripture, we were told that God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us any negative ideas about ourselves. God has not given us any sick ideas. God has not given us any unhappy ideas. God has not given us any failure patterns. But God has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You don't need to pray and say, Lord, give me more faith. What the hell are you going to do with the faith you've already got? God cannot give you anything else. I may startle some of you, but God doesn't have a damn thing else to give you. And excuse my emphatic speech. You see, I don't curse. I use emphatic speech. But the Bible just said God has given us. You see, the trouble with you people, you turn your eyes from the infinite gifts which God has already given you and beg like a beggar. Why? And how can you beg like a beggar in your prayers when the Bible says that God has given us? Oh, I may preach for the next minute. Can I have a minute to preach? Listen, God has given us. God has already done. That's all right. There's so much power in this. It may knock out everything. You people who are always praying and begging, pray, please, Lord, please, Lord. The most ignorant praying there is. God has not just present tense as such, but past tense. It's already done. It's already established. It's already within you. God has given us the Spirit power and of love and of a sound mind. You have the power of success. Go out and be successful. You have the power of success. Go out and prosper. You have the power of success. Go forth and be happy. You have the power of success. Go out and be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. And have what you want to have. Let's stand. Don't ask God for anything this week.
Yes, sir.
Get up off of your knees. Stand up on your feet. Use the gifts of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let us now receive this prayer of affirmation. I want you to say it with me. I want you to talk to yourself again while you're standing. So touch yourself to let the subconscious mind. You see, I tell you to do this. The subconscious mind hears this. When you do this and I tell you to do this, it thunders in your subconscious mind. You see, I know what I'm doing, even though I may do it in strange ways. But you see, God moves in mysterious ways.
Yes.
And if you move with him, wonders he'll perform. I say when you do this, it thunders in your subconscious mind. It thunders with power. Your subconscious mind sits up and takes notice. It alerts your subconscious mind that you're about to give an order. And when you give those positive orders to your subconscious mind, in its own infinite ways, it connects with the superconscious and brings about the good which you declare. So I want every one of you, come on, rap here. And now let's talk to the subconscious mind for about a minute. Repeat this with me. I am this successful person.
I am this successful person.
I'm done with every idea of failure.
I'm done with every idea of failure.
Come on, let's get sassy again now. I'm done with every idea of failure.
I'm done with every idea of failure.
I have the power of success built into me.
I have the power of success built into me.
God has given me the spirit of power.
God has given me the spirit of power.
And of love.
And of love.
And of a sound mind.
And of a sound mind.
God left nothing out.
God left nothing out.
When he individualized himself in me.
When he individualized himself in me.
Through me.
Through me.
And as me.
And as me.
I am healthy minded.
I am healthy minded.
Transmitting health to my body.
And affairs.
I am happy minded.
I am happy minded.
I spread happiness.
I spread happiness.
I multiply happiness.
I multiply.
I draw happiness.
I draw.
I share happiness.
I share happiness.
I am loving and beloved.
I am loving and beloved.
I love myself correctly.
I love myself correctly.
I love the highest and the best.
I love the highest and the best.
I idea of myself.
Idea of myself.
Therefore, I love others correctly.
Therefore, I love others correctly.
My love draws all of the right people.
My love draws all of the right people.
Into my life.
Into my life.
For every right purpose.
For every right purpose.
And wrong relationships can't happen.
And wrong relationships can't happen.
While I am loving correctly.
While I am loving correctly.
The wrong people can't come near me.
The wrong people can't come near me.
And everybody that's not right for me.
And everybody that's not right for me.
I release.
I release.
Watch it now. You'll go home and find he's gone already. As I say, you can't lose with the stuff I use. Don't play with it because it's powerful. I take hold of the power of success.
I take hold of the power of success.
Right now.
Right now.
And I proceed.
And I proceed
to be what I want to be.
To be what I want to
do. Do what I want to do.
Do what I want to do.
And have what I want to have.
And have what I want to have.
Thank you, God in me.
Thank you, God in me.
You may be seated. Oh, you got it today. I want the service to be completely over with in the next 12 minutes, and between now and then, I don't want any walking. Hey, you pretty little thing up there, sit down. Yes. Switching around up there in your ponytail. Sit down, you little fox. See, I can talk like that because the Board of Trustees can't put me out, you know. All right, last time the bishop put me out of the church, I said it won't happen again. I don't blame him for putting me out, though. I just wish they had done it sooner. I want just 12 more minutes. And in the closing 3 minutes of the service, I want to give you the blessing of peace to take with you. So don't leave without it. At this point, we're going to receive the afternoon's offering. I have given to you of my very best. And damn it, I want your very best. Best connects with the best, you get the best results. So I want you to prepare to give the best to the best for the best. I'm not ashamed to ask for your best. Anybody who wants to know what happens to the money in this ministry, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You don't have to wonder where your money goes when you give it to this ministry. You can look at me and tell where some of it is going. I'm expensive, and a lot of it goes to keep me looking good, feeling good, and smelling good. I'm probably one of the most expensive ministers in the world. If you want a cheaper one, go somewhere else. But I am not of the two for a nickel variety of preachers. I'm one of a kind. I don't know that the earth could stand but one like me at a time. Bless your hearts. Bless your heart. Here he is, honey. All right, we're going to receive our offering, and we want you to give in the consciousness of blessing. Most of you know how to give because you've been here before. Those of you who have not been here before, we'll give you just a little instruction. We just don't give any change. I don't want to hear any change. I don't want to hear anything but the rustling of $100 bills. Don't talk about no fluttering of no angel's wings around here. Let's have the rustling of $100 bills. And you know the work that we're doing. We're doing good work with this money. All right. I'm going to say this, and I've already taken up some of my 12 minutes, but I want to say it while I'm thinking about it, while you're preparing to give. Next Sunday, we videotape for our international telecast. Through the newspapers over the next few weeks, you will get announcements. Reverend Ike is going to be on several national television shows. And you'll get the announcements through the paper. Our own telecast will be in these areas and other areas. So we're videotaping next Sunday for our telecast. And I looked around a while ago. Next Sunday, we have a very interesting person that's going to be with us. I'm going to have a rabbi with me. And we're together. We're going to do a theme for this telecast. Give your life a purpose. He's going to speak from one of his lectures, Thou Shalt Have Purpose. And I looked around and I saw that the gentleman who's going to be with us on next Sunday, he's just here visiting today, tuning in, Rabbi Gelberman of the Little Synagogue in New York. Stand up, Rabbi Gelberman. Let's give him a hand of welcome. All right. Bless you. Shalom. So it's an exciting time next Sunday. And not only exciting time next Sunday, next Friday night from 10:30 to midnight, I'm having a money conditioning meeting. And my subject is how to zero in on money. All right. I'm telling you this because all of you who don't like money don't come here next Friday night. I'm going to rub some off on you. All right. Let's receive our offering now. Take your offering into your hand. At least 6 of my minutes are gone. While you're holding the offering to your heart, well, yes, something else comes to me. I'm going to be holding some classes in the business of living. I've taught you how to draw money, how to have money. Now I'm going to give you some sessions in the business of living, and we're going to teach you how to have your money make money. How to handle your money so it gets more interest. How to take what you've got and make more out of it. Okay. There are not going to be any ignorant people around here. Everybody around here will be intelligent and hip to the jive. Hold your offering to your heart. Repeat this with me. I give this offering with love. Joy.
Joy.
I'm happy to give it.
I'm glad to give it.
I'm happy about the cause to which it is given. This offering prospers this ministry.
And it prospers me.
And I see myself with all of the money that I need.
For every good purpose.
Thank you, God in me. The ushers will serve you now, and in about 5 minutes, I'll give you the benediction, so I don't want anybody walking but the ushers for the next 5 minutes until the end of the service. I'm going to ask Brother Benny Pritchard if he and these beautiful singers could sing us another song while the offering is being received. Bless you.
In our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that death always tomorrow.
Lean on God when you're not strong, He'll be your friend, He'll help you carry on. Oh, it won't be long, you need the Lord to the end, Lord.
Please swallow your pride. If you have faith, you need to borrow, for no one can tell those of your needs. You have to call on, you just call for the Lord. When you need a hat, we all need the Lord to depend on. You just might have a problem you can't understand. We all need the Lord to depend on. Lean on God when you're not strong. He'll be your friend. He'll help you carry on. Oh, it won't be long. You need the Lord to depend on. If there is a road you have to bear that you can't carry, He'll point the road. He'll help you bear the Lord. You just call on the Lord when you need a hat. We all need the Lord. You just might have a problem you can't understand. We all need the Lord to depend on. Lean on God when you're not strong. He'll be your friend. He'll help you carry on. Oh, it won't be long. You need the Lord to depend on. I said if there is a rope you have to bear that you can't carry, He'll point the road, He'll help you there. The Lord, you just call on the Lord when you need a hand. We all need the Lord to depend on. You just might have a problem you can't understand. We all need the Lord
to depend on.
Lean on God when you're not strong.
He'll be your friend.
He'll help you carry on. Oh, it won't be long. You need the Lord. You have to bear that you can't carry. He'll point the road. He'll help you bear the Lord. You just call on the Lord when you need a hand. We all need the Lord to depend on. You just might have a problem you can't understand. We all need the Lord
to depend on.
Lean on God when you're not strong. He'll be your friend. He'll help you carry on. Oh, it won't be long. You need the Lord to depend. Oh.
Everybody say all right. I want to thank you for your offering. We're getting ready to give you the final blessing. The ushers, have you passed out the Reverend Ike envelopes already? These ushers amaze me. They can serve this vast congregation so quickly, pass out these envelopes so quickly. Give the ushers a great big hand. Now that you have the power of success, I want to give you the final blessing of peace. And in the consciousness of the power that is within you, rise, shine, give God.
Before you.
Thank you, Father. And make smooth, beautiful, and perfect your way.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.